And I challenge you this morning, you can either sit on a couch and recline and say, my dad wasn't there, no one was there. I guarantee you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God sent men in your life to play that role.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Upbringing by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Yesterday, Ryan and Elizabeth had organized a mini golf tournament. When I first heard about it, I thought it was going to be at the golf course, but it was at the putt-putt range, and honestly, we had the best time. And it was amazing to see how kids are like their dads, girls and boys. I mean, it's amazing. Active dads, active kids. But what was very important for me to see is how much children need their fathers, how much they need their dads in their lives. And not just boys, also girls. They need dads in their lives. You know, our culture in which we live, there is a prevalent belief that fathers are like an accessory. You know, you have a cell phone, and you have a cell phone cover. You don't need the cover to make phone calls. You don't need the cover to text. But when you look at the Word of God, when you look at what the Bible has to say, fathers are not an accessory. They are primary in a child's life. That's what our message is about this morning. It's called Upbringing, and we're going to see how that works and how important that is. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's all stand once again for the reading of God's Word. Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church, but I want you to pay careful attention to the relationship he describes that he has with a young man by the name of Timothy. So pay attention to his words. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. How much do we need to hear that statement today? We have a lot of people who claim they know what this means and that means. They just don't know what it means to be a father. To be a father, there are three things we're going to talk about in a few moments. It's important as a father to be an instructor, to be a model, but then also a protector. Paul says there are many instructors, but not many fathers, because to be a father requires something more. What else is required? Paul says, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. There's your model. Instruction, imitation, but here comes the third one in 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. But then chapter 16, verse 10, if you would quickly turn there or turn to the screen. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear. If you know the history, the background of the Corinthian church, they were fussing and fighting among themselves. There were different parties, Paul's and Apollos's and Peter's and Jesus's party, and they were fussing. And Paul says, I know what's going on in your church. Just make sure you better not intimidate and hurt Timothy. But send him on in his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren, which means, if he doesn't come in a certain amount of time, I know something's up. And this may be a tough message for some of you. Either your father was not there, or he was not the man he was supposed to be, or you're not the father you were supposed to be, or you're not the son or the daughter you were supposed to be. You disappointed your parents. And this morning, cry out from your heart, God, give me your grace. Give me your grace. And he will. Are you saved? You say, what does it take to be saved? John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. We're all God's creatures. We're all God's creation. But it's only when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your King, that you are adopted into his family. Have you been adopted? If not, as I pray for God's blessing on this message, right now, wherever you are, you need your adoption papers. You need to pray and say, Jesus, save me. I want to be a child of the King. I want to be a child of the living, true God. In light of Father's Day today, I'm doing something kind of different. Now, typically, I will have a passage of the Bible, or I'll go through books of the Bible, a series, through sections of the Bible. This morning, I want to do something different. I want to dwell on the father-son relationship that Paul had with his son in the ministry, Timothy. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 on the screen, it says, for this reason, Paul says, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that Timothy was not Paul's biological son. We know that because it tells us in Acts. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, he says that Paul, when he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Okay? Who was Timothy? Luke tells us in the next line, he was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And just the way Luke phrases that, it seems that Timothy's father never converted to Judaism. He always remained a Gentile Greek. Now, back in the time of Jesus, about this period, I did some research, and intermarriage was practiced. We don't know how many people were marrying outside Judaism. We don't know for sure, but one thing we know that it did happen. And the rabbis did not find that problematic as long as the Gentile person was going to convert to Judaism. But if the Gentile person was not going to convert, this was a whole different issue. So can you imagine reading Luke and reading Paul? More than likely, Timothy's father, the Gentile Greek person, never converted to Judaism. How do you think he was treated when he was probably with his mom's people? Oh, his dad was that Greek Gentile. I don't even know why she married him. When he went over to his Greek side of the family, can you imagine what they did? Yeah, they think they're better than us, those Jewish people. They think they're better than us. And then we find out that more than likely, in Paul's first missionary journey, there was something that took place in Timothy's mother's life. In fact, listen to 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. It could very well be that in Paul's first missionary journey, as he was going across Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, somehow, some way, Timothy's grandmother Lois got saved. And not only her, but her daughter, Timothy's mother, Eunice, also got saved. And Timothy was probably a young child, I don't know, maybe 8-10 years of age, maybe older. He got saved too. I would assume, folks, more than likely, all relations were cut off with his father. I mean, not only is his mother Jewish, but now she has converted to this sect, this cult of Christianity. More than likely, that part of Timothy's life, the father's side, was cut off. Now, I want to say something at this point, hopefully that will apply to you where you are. The gospel can be very costly. You see, we have the idea that if we follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, give our life to Him, start attending church, serving in church, that our family would be very happy. That's not always the case. In fact, if they are church-going family and they live around here, they will give you a lot of headache. Why are you going over there? Why can't you go with us? What's wrong with our church? Are y'all getting this? Folks, listen. The gospel can be very costly. More than likely, Timothy was cut off from his family relations with his father because now he is a Christian. Jesus said something so important. Matthew chapter 10, 37, he says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Honor your father and your mother. Obey them. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, there comes a place where you say, "I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. But I'm going to follow him. I'm following Jesus Christ." But let's go back to Acts chapter 16, verse 2. He, meaning Timothy, was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. But here's something. Paul sees this young man. Maybe he was a teenager. Maybe he was 15, 16 years of age. We don't know for sure, but I believe he was very young. Paul sees Timothy. He knows his mother. He knows his grandmother. And he sees this young man who has a heart for Jesus Christ, but there is no dad in his life. And Paul's heart goes out to him. Listen to this verse. Paul wanted him to go on with him. He wanted Timothy to accompany him in his missionary journey. But I listen to verse 3. And he took him. Hold on to your hats if you have any on. And circumcised him. Now at that point I would have said, "Paul, I appreciate you being my father figure and all, but, you know, we ain't got to do that, okay? We don't have to do the circumcision part. Why can't you just, like, pray for me, encourage me, send me off to a good school, maybe send me a check time to time? Circumcised?" Now, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he was dead set against circumcision. I mean, he fought. He fought tooth and nail against circumcision. He stood up even to Peter, who was the head of the apostles, and said, "Absolutely not. If you're going to make the Gentiles be circumcised, then you are a hypocrite because you don't keep the law all the way." And when Titus, who was another Greek believer, they were saying, "Titus needs to be circumcised." And Paul says, "Absolutely not. I'm not going to let him be circumcised because you don't have to be circumcised in order to be saved." Now, if Paul has said this, and this is how he believes, and even at that very point, listen, even at that very point, he was going from church to church, sending the message that they no longer have to be circumcised, why in the world did he make Timothy get circumcised? Well, listen to that verse again. Verse 3. And he took him and circumcised him, listen, because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Everywhere that Timothy went, they're like, "Yeah, that's that kid. Yeah, his dad is a Gentile. He don't have a father in his life. And now he is a Christian, but even in the Christian circles, they got saved in Paul's first missionary journey. But who's his father? He doesn't have one." When Paul heard about that, he said, "Oh yeah, he's going to have a father. Timothy, I need you to be circumcised. From this day on, you're my son. Wherever we go, and if someone says, 'Who's your father?' you tell them, 'I am your father.'" But you know, what if they, "Well, that's why we're going to get circumcised. So next time someone says, but see, he's not really Jewish, is he, Paul? Is he? He's not really Jewish. Remember, his father's just..." "Oh, you want to check? Because he is." Folks, this was not about circumcision. It was about sonship. Paul would never compromise the gospel. This was not about offending people or not offending people. This was about, "Son, I want you to be known as my son from here on." How amazing it is that when we don't have that person in our life, God brings several people in my own life. I came here when I was 17 years of age. Great dad, still a great dad. He is 82 years of age. Yesterday I thought it was his birthday, but it's July 15th. So I called him, and Nicole comes and says, "It's not his birthday today." So I called him up and I said, "Happy birthday, Dad." He's like, "Well, okay, a month early, but that's okay, I'll take it." I'm like, "Oh, no." When I came here, I mean, I was that kid, not persecuted, but I was that kid with no father in my life. And then God sent men into my life who cared about me, who loved me, who encouraged me, prayed for me, and the one who made the most, the greatest impact on my life was Nicole's dad. I remember the first time Nicole told me, he said, if you're going to date me, you got to meet my dad. And I showed up, as you know the story, saw him through the cafeteria window, and I said, absolutely not. He was a big, tall man. I said, they won't even find my body, you know? It's like, no. And then she said, really, truly, I'm not joking. You want to date me, you got to meet my dad. And sure enough, I went to meet him, one handshake, and I felt, really, I mean this, I felt that warmth, that love that this man had for me, and he had never met me in my life. And I tell Nicole, and she knows this is true, she knows what's coming, I loved her dad before I loved her. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen between you and me, but I'm not letting him go. But I can look back on my own life. God brought godly men who encouraged me and played that role of a father, even though my father was 5,000 miles away. And I challenge you this morning, you can either sit on a couch and recline and say, my dad wasn't there, no one was there. I guarantee you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God sent men in your life to play that role. Think about that. But I want to switch gears over here. Paul filled that role in Timothy's life. And we don't have time to go through the entire two letters, so I'm going to pick out certain verses that I believe are so impactful and have touched my life. What does Paul tell him about life? As his father, spiritually speaking, symbolically his father, the first thing we see is Paul is giving him confidence. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. He says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't say brother Timothy, co-laborer Timothy. He says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. What we see in that statement is Paul giving Timothy confidence in life. Confidence. Confidence is telling your son, telling your daughter, you can do it. I believe in you. Listen again to Paul's words in 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, which means this, son, you can't fail because there are prophecies given about your success. Wow. Something else. He talks to him about church. 1 Timothy 3:15, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We need fathers who would teach our children the value of church life. Now, of course, I know it's Paul is teaching Timothy about how to organize the church. I'm aware of that. But I believe in this portion, you can also see Paul telling Timothy, son, church matters. Church matters. There are fathers who get in their car, the truck, whatever, and as they leave the church, they're tearing everything down. Tearing everything down from the music to the lights to the preaching to the foyer to the Sunday school teacher or somebody who was in church. It's a bunch of hypocrites over there. What do you think is going through your child's mind? The Holy Spirit is working in that little heart, in that young man, the young girl's life, and here you are pontificating about how much you know the Bible and how he made a mistake right there. And if you have issues with anybody in the church family, I strongly suggest don't share it in front of your children. It changes their demeanor. I've reached out to shake hands with young people and realized there was a coldness there. You know what happened? Because you had a problem with me or a problem with somebody else or something didn't go your way and you made the blunder of talking about it in front of them. And guess what? You moved on. You reconciled. It's all fine by you, but they got infected. Well, as long as you're in my house, under my roof, going to church, they're thinking, why? Why do we even put ourselves through this? Fine. Once I get out from under your roof, I'm not going back.
Preacher, we raised him in church. We always had him in church.
Yeah, but you trash talked it the whole time. Is this making sense? Listen again to Paul. Paul says, I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth. There is no perfect church. But you teach them the value of the fellowship. Self-respect. I need to put this in red. We're not talking about self-esteem. Our culture talks a lot about self-esteem. We're not talking about self-esteem. We're talking about self-respect. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, son, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I've told my daughters, you stand strong, you stand tall. It doesn't matter who it is. You stand your ground. And same thing to my sons. Don't let anybody look down on you. Teach them self-respect. Teach them communication. Again, this one deserves to be in red. Communication. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy about how to communicate with people at different ages of life. 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Of course, this is in the context of church and ministry, but isn't that something our culture needs to learn? Young people need to know how to talk to adults. Paul tells Timothy, son, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men, as brothers. Older women, as mothers. And here's a beautiful one. Younger women, as sisters, with all purity. Learn how to communicate with older men, older women, younger men, younger women. Are y'all awake this morning? That is your job, to teach your children how to talk to people. Something else. And again, this is in no particular order, but your relationship with Christ. Teach your children what it means to have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want each one of my kids to have a strong relationship with Christ. Something else, endurance. Teaching your children not to give up. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, there is the imagery from being a soldier. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in athletics. So first thing is, as a soldier, son, don't run off the battlefield. As an athlete, anyone competes in athletic, he is not crowned until he competes according to the rules. And it's not enough to just compare with a soldier and an athlete. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Teach your children the importance of endurance. Something else, teach your children what it means to be focused. Focused. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. And I know he's talking to him as a pastor, but it's something more happening here. He said, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, which means, son, do not waste your time quibbling and fussing and quarreling with people. Can I talk to the adult parents here? Do you like to stir trouble between one son and a daughter? Are you the kind who likes to pit your children against each other? Because it's a sin. Are you the like who like, here's my favorite girl, that's just my boy. Are you the type, oh, I love my son, daughter, you know, don't care. Are you that type who likes to stir the pot? It's a shame. If you have done that, you need to apologize not only to your family, but repent before God and say, God, that's not what a godly parent should have done. I know parents who have literally tore their family apart because of their selfishness, and listen, because of immaturity. or something else. Avoid bad company. Listen to what Paul says about this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." He's talking to his son. He says, "Son, there will be people who will not listen to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Here's the key point: "and from such people turn away." We've lost friends because we told our sons and our daughters, "No, you can't spend the night." And that's okay. "Well, Pat, well, preacher, if you don't let your children go hang out with them, who will? Because they could share the gospel." No, I should share the gospel. I'm called to be the salt and the light. Would you throw your children out there to tame the wolves? And then don't come in here and say, "I don't know what happened because she's on drugs now. I don't know what happened, but he is fooling around now." Why? Because you said, "Don't avoid them. Just go along with it." Listen to what else. Something else is happening here. This last one here. Our time is very short. Go home and read these two epistles. Paul talks about his own personal example. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to put it right up here. It's not enough just to preach at your children, but you also have to live that life. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance." Listen, you have followed my life. Dads, you have to live it out. And here's the last one. I can go on and on. Well, the last one, I want to go back to the verse that I read in the opening. Dads are called to be the protectors. Remember what Paul told the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 16? He said, "And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear. Don't any of you try to hurt my son." And then he says, "For he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him." See, if I don't see my son, I know what's happened, and I'm coming for him. How many girls are out there whose dad never came for them? And I know this message may be hard and harsh for some of you because you lived it, you've been there, and you see your failures. But folks, this message is not to condemn. This message is to help you do things differently from this point on. But how many girls wished their dad had said, "Hey, if you're not there by this time, I'm coming"? How many boys out there wished their dad had stood up for them when they were being bullied or being talked down or made fun of, but the dads never came? My challenge to you this morning is don't get discouraged, don't lose heart. But look back and say, "God, where have I failed? If I failed here," because I see my failures. As I'm preaching this, I see where I failed. "God, I want to do things different. In this season of my life, I can't turn back time. I can't make my kids young again and start over. It's not possible. For this season in life, this stage in life, God, I want to do some things different." And there are many young men, young ladies, that you can be that father in their life. Now, don't go circumcising people. But you can come along and say, "I'm praying for you. I'm encouraging. If you ever need anything, let me know." Be a Paul in some Timothy's life. And if you do not know Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Give your life to Christ. Receive your adoption papers. Become a child of God.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Dads play a critical role in our upbringing, helping shape us and helping us to learn more about God as our Heavenly Father. Paul wasn't Timothy's biological father, but he stepped into that role and helped shape him into the man he would become. Honor your dads by recognizing the impact they've had on your life. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.